From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Informative and engaging. Rick Mudd. Rick Mudd on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I love that little sweeper. You know why? Because at the end when it goes, dun, 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 I go bang, bang with my right fist. It fires me up a little bit. I'm not going to lie. That was one of the original sweepers for Locked and Loaded way back in the day, a whole year ago. And that's nostalgia for me now. I'm thinking back about the good old days of 12 months ago when TNT launched, and we're still going. By the grace of God and the support of our people, we're still on air. It's all good. This is Locked and Loaded. Whew, I'm Rick Munn, and we still have more to come here. Another 56 minutes of magic before another wonderful person hops on the seat, and then another one, and another one, and another one. That's how it rolls here in TNT Radio. We're trying to bring you as much live content as we possibly can, and aim to do even more of that over the coming months and hopefully years. So listeners, you're very welcome to stay tuned. I'll be joined in 15 minutes by Greg Mabry, who's a long-standing guest of the show. He's based in Western Australia. He's a great writer and a great orator as well. And he has his own show on TNT Radio at the weekends, The No Fly Zone, which I really like the name of. He'll be joining me soon. What's happening in the world? Well, you know, it's TNT Radio. And TNT, believe it or not, stands for Today's News Talk. So what we aim to do, what I'm trying my best to do, is talk about the news today. And there's no shortage of it. There's no shortage of material out there. Justin Trudeau has been mobbed by the people. A huge amount of police have been dispatched to protect him at the minute. I see footage of him walking down a street in Hamilton in Canada, literally surrounded by about 200 cops. He's being verbally assaulted. People are jostling him. The Secret Service are running about with their earpieces in and their sunglasses on, even though it's the middle of the night, to protect little Trudeau Castro, and allow him to enter a building in safety with his smug grin on his face. Someday that smug grin is going to get wiped off the face of Justin Trudeau. And when it happens, it ain't going to be pretty. When these people go down and the people get what they want, it's never pretty. And I guarantee you, he won't be grinning. He won't be grinning if and when that happens. Anyway, what do I know? I'm only an Irishman. What do I know about violence and reparations and retaliations? What do I know, eh? Anyway, what else is happening in the world? Suella Braverman, the Home Secretary of Britain, has been on a jolly up to Glasgow to see what's happening in Glasgow concerning asylum seekers processing. She says she wants to clear the asylum backlog by the end of 2023. And this is further evidence, in my opinion, that people in Parliament are smoking some heavy-duty stuff from pipes, because Rishi Sunak believes he's going to have inflation in 2023, and Suella Braverman actually thinks she's going to clear the asylum backlog in the UK in 2023. It's not happening, right? Ever tried to empty your bath? Okay, here's a tip. If you're emptying your bath, don't leave the taps running. The bath's not going to empty, right? If you want to empty your bath, you turn off the taps. The problem with the UK and Ireland is they want to empty the bath allegedly, but the taps are running. There's more water coming into the bath than's going out through the plug hole. The bath will not empty. That's pretty simple physics, isn't it? Or whatever scientific discipline that is. It ain't going to happen. Suella, love, I know you listen in. I know you're a fan. You keep emailing me all the time asking me what my opinions are and how to sort the problems of the UK. I know you're a big Locked and Loaded fan. Take it from Rick Munn. Turn the taps off and then pull the plug. That's my advice to you. Take it or leave it, Suella. And that one's on the house. You don't even have to invoice me for that one. All right. So Home Office, listen carefully. Turn off the taps and pull the plug. I can't put it any more clearly than that. Excess deaths. You know what? I'm sad to say this, but this is becoming everyday news now. It should be horrific and shocking, and it is, but it's now part of the parcel of our everyday landscape. Excess deaths are up. 10%, 15%, 20%, 25%, an extra 4,000, an extra 10,000. And people are just like drooling on their chins going, well, what's causing it? Is it the climate? Is it lockdown, fallout, long COVID? I don't know. I don't know how these people are going to be gotten through to. And every MP in the bloody country, pretty much bar one or two, is completely silent and complicit in this. Nobody's calling out for justice or inquiries, bar one or two in every country. Daily Mail saying massive spike in excess deaths calls for an urgent investigation. Nearly, 3,000 a week in Britain are dying above and beyond what's normal, non-COVID related deaths. Think about a pile of bodies, 3,000 high. That's bad enough in and of itself. That's happening weekly. And we're now into, week four? By my mathematics, that means 12,000. Can you imagine what 12,000 dead bodies looks like if they were all to be lined up one after the other? That's what's happening. That's the reality, but that's not the picture that's being painted to you by the mainstream media and by your government. It's wholesale slaughter. It's genocide. It's democide. It's whatever side you want to call it. It's murder. And it's not being investigated. And to hell with all those MPs and all those police. The police know about this too, by the way. Whoever's operating at the higher levels of the police, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. The mainstream media, be ashamed. Big Pharma, be ashamed. Medical professionals, quote unquote, be ashamed. You've all got your hands in this. It makes me sick. You're like Pontius Pilate, you know, standing in front of the crowd, washing his hands feverishly, saying, my hands are clean of the blood of this innocent man. No, they weren't clean, and no amount of soap and water is going to purge them. None. It's horrific what they're doing. I feel like launching into a sermon, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to sip some water, and I'm going to have a chat with my old chum, Darren, whenever we come back from this quick break here on TNT Radio.
Talking the big stories.
Our country has a lot of problems.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Darren of Plymouth, let me just say, and give him an unashamed and unapologetic plug here on TNT. Darren, I first connected with on Twitter 2 years ago when I was a little nobody. I had 15 followers. He was running as an independent councillor, I think, in Plymouth. And I actually sent him a message, I think. I think I sent him a DM. He didn't have a clue who I was. And I said, mate, I really hope you get elected. I like your style. I like your delivery. I like what you're doing. And I was an early fan of yours or supporter of yours, even when you were knocking the doors in Plymouth trying to get elected. And now here we are chewing the fat together on live radio. And we're going to be in Kegworth together on Friday night with TNT acolytes and hobnobbing and giving away prizes. Who would have thought about it, Darren? Who would have thought?
A remarkable change in fortunes and changing direction in life for both of us, Rick. And I'm just going to add that the Darren of Plymouth Twitter account is now back online. Elon has unsuspended me. I'm about to rock Twitter again. I'm so happy.
I was saying to Nicola, actually, I don't think I've ever seen you this deliriously happy in the whole time that we've been communicating together. And I am happy for you because I know that account meant a lot. You sweated blood over that account. You really busted your ass building it up. And I know you were gutted when it got nuked. And you've had a few reincarnations since, and they're doing well. But old Darren of Plymouth, the original is back. He's back in the house, people. And you can follow him, by the way. Let me just make sure I get this right. I'm sure he can correct me if I'm wrong. The account is at Darren Plymouth. So leave off the off. So if you go onto Twitter and you're a Twitter user, follow him at Darren Plymouth, all one word, and you'll hook up with the original and best incarnation of the DOP account. He's back on the air. But anyway, why not? Why not celebrate it? We talk about enough doom and gloom here, so we've got to move away from that happy vibe that we've got going on there and turn our attention to China, as Donald Trump would say, China. Okay, so China can spy through household devices, a report warns. The Internet of Things enabled devices are constantly reporting usage data back to their manufacturers, the UK government has warned. Is this complete bunkum or is this true? I think it's true. I think we're being listened to and watched even right now. That's my take on it. What do you think?
I mean, my first comment, just on the headlines, right before I read the story, the UK government has warned. What they're saying is, we want to spy on you. We don't want the Chinese spying on you. When we implement the Internet of Things, we don't want you using Chinese devices that are reporting back to China. We want them reporting back to us, of course. Chinese-made microchips embedded in the Internet of Things devices like smart fridges, cars and televisions allow Beijing to spy on unsuspecting Britons. A report from the think tank OODA published on Monday and seen by the Telegraph has revealed, claiming the threat from the Chinese-made components called cellular IoTs is greater than that posed by the Chinese-made Huawei 5G components, which the UK government decided to cut out of Britain's 5G network by 2027. I mean, if Huawei was spying on us, why are we waiting until 2027 to get rid of their products and components and equipment? These Trojan horse modules are found in every device connected to the Internet of Things, from laptops and smartwatches to cars, refrigerators, smart meters, doorbell cameras, credit card payment machines, even light bulbs. Don't buy dodgy Chinese light bulbs. Designed to collect usage data and transmit it back to the manufacturer using 5G networks. They can produce a relatively detailed picture of a user, a community, or an entire industry. The Chinese companies that dominate the industry must turn that data over to the Chinese government if asked. So that information may be requested by the CCP. Such a wealth of data could be used to identify and surveil potential intelligence sources or other VIPs, pinpointing who handles sensitive information and which possible avenues for blackmail or bribery might work on them. A fear that became very real this month when the devices were found in ministerial cars in the UK. Maybe the UK government, are just trying to warn themselves and their own, Rick, saying, you know, don't buy any mobile phones or internet capable devices from China, because they might be spying on us. As Liz Truss found out, it's quite easy to look into somebody's WhatsApp messages, especially if they're using a Chinese made phone, which many of them are, including products like Apple. And I live by my iPhone. I wouldn't go back on any other phone. But how do I know that the Chinese now aren't going, oh, Darren Plymouth's back online, his Twitter account's back, at Darren Plymouth. And they were listening and watching everything that I do.
Oh, you're a shameless plugger. You are, Darren. You're a shameless plugger. Yes, Darren Plymouth. That Darren Plymouth. So any Chinese spies out there, just in case you haven't heard it yet or you missed out on it, it's at Darren Plymouth. And I'm at No Risk, No Reward. That's one thing I haven't actually done. I've been online for a year, and I kid you not, I've maybe tried to plug my Twitter account maybe 3 or 4 times. I don't know why, but I just don't do it, but I probably should. So if you are on Twitter, you can follow me as well at No Risk, No Reward, or search No Risk, No Reward. You'll see my head popping up somewhere. You can follow me if you want. But listen, here's the thing, okay? And even years and years ago, people's eyebrows were being raised because they were seeing personalized ads popping up on their devices about stuff they maybe had talked about, an hour beforehand. And these were really random ones, right? So I was actually online last January with a guy called David McBride, and we were talking about Africa, and we were talking about Rwanda, and we were talking about people making money making personalized goods in Rwanda, right? How random is that? An hour after the show finished, and my phone is with me here as I'm talking, I started getting ads for handcrafted Rwandese goods that had been imported into the UK. Don't tell me that was a coincidence. Don't tell me that my phone wasn't listening to me. Alexa devices, these spot devices that are sitting in every room of every house, Alexa, TV on. Alexa, listen to TNT Radio. They're listening. They're checking your voice patterns. Microsoft have a new product out that apparently after 3 seconds of hearing your voice saying anything at all, they can produce a perfect replica of your speech patterns, intonation, and apply it to a script to make it sound like Darren of Plymouth or Rick Munn or Jeff or whoever it happens to be. These things are actually happening. These Ring devices that you're seeing on people's doorbells that are security devices linked into your phone. So someone comes to your flat, they ring the doorbell, your phone pings, you see who it is. That's not just for your benefit. They're also seeing who's calling on to see Darren today or who's Darren's mate's been. Yeah, the Alexa in our office. Jay, well, there you go. Jeff has just messaged us to say the Alexa in our office just went off because I said Alexa in Ireland on the internet coming through to Brisbane that activated his bloody Alexa device. So that, and he's saying it's pointing again. He's Alexa, deplatform Jeff. Alexa, reinstate Darren. There you go. So maybe, like, how bizarre is this? How bizarre is this, Darren?
And it's very real. And yeah, you know, we are surrounded by all these devices. You know, for me, it's just mobile phones and laptops. And, you know, I've got a couple of laptop computers here and a couple of phones. I've got an Xbox that sometimes turns on randomly, which is a bit weird. But in the future, it'll be your fridge. So your fridge will be communicating with not just with the Chinese, but with your local supermarket to keep your fridge updated. Well, they said light bulbs. You know, imagine every home has a light bulb in the future and it's communicating with China, listening to everything that you're saying, everything that you're buying, everybody that you're meeting and communicating with. And these this information to some seems quite innocuous because they go, oh, I've got nothing to hide. So it doesn't matter. Every little facial twitch and tick, every expression, every word, every inflection in your voice, all of this data is actually incredibly useful to the powers that be, the data collectors, in analyzing you and being able to predict your behavior, your purchasing patterns, your social patterns, your traveling patterns, everything. And it will be used to lock you down and control you in the future, whether it's being collected by the UK government or collected by the CCP or Joe Biden's lot over in the USA. This data, or the manufacturers and the big corporate organizations, massively important data that they can use against you if they want to in the future. The Internet of the Things sounds quite nice. But the reality is, it's a 5G digital prison.
It is. It is. And I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to poke you in the ribs a little bit here. As much as I'm elated for you that you're back on Twitter. And of course, I'm on there too. And, you know, accolades could be thrown towards your old chum, Elon. Maybe he sees you as the threat. He's saying, I need to harvest more information on that Janner dude from Plymouth. I don't know. But either way, we're here. And you know what? We don't make any secret about what we say. Let them hack our accounts. Let them listen into TNT Radio. Let them hack my emails. I don't give a damn. I don't hide what I say. And neither do you, but you don't hide what you say. You make no bones about what you're about. And maybe that's why we're not dangerous to them. They're more interested in the covert people. We're very overt people here on TNT. So, Darren, much appreciated for your input. It's always good to talk shop with you. And you'll be back on 1 to 3 p.m. today, I believe. Is that correct? Yep. So tune in to Digging Deeper at 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. today with Darren. I'm Rick Munn. Be back after the break here with Greg Mabry. Please don't go away.
Greg Mabry on TNT Radio.
It's often been said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If that's the case, then such corruption would seem most evident when man surrenders so easily to his most depraved and sadistic and absolutely perverted impulses. Now, in considering the extent of the global pedophilia pandemic and child physical and sexual abuse and related criminal activity indulged in by our power elites, one thing is certainly clear: the deep-seated depravity and moral turpitude and studied indifference to human suffering that's manifested by these people. Such crimes themselves are rendered even more shameful by the degree to which their accomplices at the highest levels within and across the political, social and economic spheres so frequently protect these perps from exposure and therefore prosecution is perhaps the biggest blot on the landscape of civilized society and the most savage indictment on our modern humanity.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry on TV. TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $310 million to mainstream media. We don't tell the story that Bill Gates wants you to know. We tell the real story. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, we got 36 minutes left. I want to try and squeeze as much Greg Mabry into the next 36 minutes as I possibly can. I guarantee you, no one's ever said that to him before. Greg, it's lovely to see you again, and hopefully it'll be lovely to hear you again. How are you over in Western Australia?
How am I doing? Yes, I didn't catch that last bit, Rick, but I presume you were asking how I was doing. Yes, I'm doing okay. The weather's lovely and, life is good and as good as it can be.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And I'm okay. You know, don't talk to me about the weather. That's a sore point here. It's a heady 7-8 degrees Celsius. It's completely gray. It's dark. I still have the lights on in my house, even though the blinds are open and it's 9:30 in the morning. There's a slight drizzle hanging in the air, a low hanging cloud. I don't know what it is. So I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you over there in Western Australia. We're languishing here in Ireland, my friend. But listen, that's our life and we're used to it. And we don't complain because they don't call us the Emerald Isle for nothing. We're green from top to bottom, north to south, east to west. That's because we're so well watered, and we want to try and water a few people today. Greg is a long time guest here on Locked and Loaded, and he also has his own show on TNT Radio that you can listen in at the weekends, the No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry, and that beams out on Saturdays at 6 to 7 p.m. on Brisbane time, 8 to 9 a.m. UK time, London, Europe time, and also 3 to 4 a.m. New York time. So, Greg, you're still busy with the show. We haven't spoken for maybe a month now. A lot of water's been passing under the bridge in a lot of different countries. Something that's cropped up into my head that I want to discuss with you, that'll maybe be split in half by our news break at the 30-minute mark, but Jacinda Ardern's gone from Australia. She's pretty much your next door neighbour, whether you like it or not, or at least she was. A lot of people focused on her tenure as the PM, how she had wrecked the country, wrecked the economy. She was a globalist. We know all that. Okay, we know all that. Her replacement, this guy Simpkins that's came in, I don't think, I'm already starting to miss Jacinda. I never thought I would hear myself say those words. But when I see this guy Simpkins, he makes my skin crawl. And I don't know if you've seen the movie The Green Mile or not. The movie, the prison movie, The Green Mile. But he reminds me of that psychotic, sadistic little prison guard, Percy, whatever his name is, the one that doesn't put the water on the inmate's head just to watch him fry, the sadistic little turd. That's who this guy Simpkins reminds me of. What's your take on him so far?
Well, I only saw a very short clip the other day where he was banging on about how, if I recall, he was talking about how, we're going to go chasing after people who haven't been vaccinated and, we're going to do this to you and do that to you. And part of me, again, as with these things for the last 3 years, there's a part of you that kind of, hang on, am I actually hearing this? Am I actually hearing what this, is this guy actually saying this stuff and does he believe it? And all that sort of stuff went through my head. And again, I thought, the final conclusion that I came to was, like you, I thought, gee, I didn't think we could get anything worse than Jacinda Ardern. And perhaps, you know, just after listening to about three sentences from this guy, I'm thinking that maybe that could be the case, you know. But
there'll be hashtags of reinstate Jacinda all over the New Zealand social media accounts by June. That's my prediction. Reinstate Jacinda. They'll be crying for her to come back again.
Come back, Jacinda. Come back, Jacinda. No, I think
she's heading towards she's heading towards a cushy job either with BlackRock or somewhere within the WF, a la Chrystia Freeland, who of course holds down her day job as the deputy PM of Canada, but she also is a very high ranking director actually of the WEF as well. That's her little moonlighting job on the side. I think we'll see Jacinda. They'll not waste all that investment in her psychopathic tendencies. I think she'll find a home somewhere and cause more havoc from behind the scenes. What do you reckon?
I think that's probably going to be the case. The only other alternative is that she is that as one of the useful idiots, she's passed her use-by date and maybe they'll sort of dispense with her services. What she has to offer, who knows? They'll probably find some sort of a gig for her. I think you're quite right that, you know, the WEF will probably look after its own, at least until, you know, she continues to prove to be in some way, shape or form useful to the overarching purpose of WEF. So, you know, I don't think we've seen the last of Jacinda Ardern.
I would agree with you on that. I want to look at reshuffling the deck with you again today as well, because we're kicking it off. I'm using this as a sort of a lead-in, the departure of Ardern. We've seen it also last summer in the UK when Johnson, who's an elected PM, by the way, has been replaced by two unelected PMs since last August time, one of which being Liz Truss, who famously held office for less than, I think it was 6 weeks she lasted for. And then, of course, Rishi Sunak's in number 10 at the moment, neither of which have been elected. They're both in the PM seats since our elected PM. And arguably, the countries went from bad to worse under their leadership, in inverted commas. I think we're going to see the same thing in New Zealand with the Guy Simpkins. And I also think we're going to see other dominoes falling this year. High profile leaders, despised leaders who are ousted and replaced by even more psychotic versions of themselves. But we've got to take a real quick news break just for a minute. When we come back, let's speculate a little bit on America, the US, on Canada, on various other countries, maybe within Europe. Could we see more dominoes falling this year and replacements being brought in? We'll do that when we come back here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Russia's accused the West of applying a neo-colonialist approach to Africa by patronizing its nations instead of cooperating with them. The symbolic doomsday clock, which is used to measure how close humanity is from obliterating itself, is now the closest it's ever been to striking midnight after being moved forward on Tuesday. And the White House is suing Google, accusing the tech giant of abusing its dominance in the online advertising market.
Our brains control how we act in the world. But did you know the world around us also affects our brains? Our genes, environment, and social interactions all work together to shape the way our brains develop. Sometimes these factors combine in ways that create unhealthy thoughts or feelings. Over time, these unhealthy thoughts and feelings become so unmanageable that we need outside support to get better. 50% of people will develop at least one mental health condition during their lifetime, and half of those people will develop a mental health condition by age 14. Unfortunately, it takes about 10 years for people to get the treatment they need. We don't wait to treat health problems like heart disease or cancer until stage 4. We shouldn't wait to take care of our mental health. The right early treatment can change lives, reducing school dropout rates, hospitalization, incarceration, and unemployment. Imagine what the world would look like if we all got the help we needed when we first started showing the early warning signs. Start the conversation before stage 4. Visit mentalhealthamerica.net to get informed, take an online screening, and better understand your own mental health.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, so I'm talking with Greg Mabry today. Greg is the host of the No Fly Zone. The No Fly Zone. That sounded like Sean Connery. Sean Connery, this is Greg Mabry from the No Fly Zone, and he's based in Western Australia, and you can listen to him on Saturday. How did you? What was that like for a Sean Connery impression? Did you like that?
Perhaps a little bit of work there, Rick, you know, but okay, it's pretty good.
Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the encouragement, Greg. But anyway, you can check Greg out on the No Fly Zone, and also all of his up-to-date interviews have been logged and cataloged on the TNT website. You can go to tntradio.live, search for presenter Greg Mabry, and they're all there in drop-down format, which is great. We were talking just before the news about the departure of Ardern. Rather than going into her legacy or horror campaign that she launched on the New Zealand folk over the last few years, we're looking at the fallout. We're looking at the replacements because I think we're going to see a reshuffling in the globalist pack this year. They're going to get the old blood out. They're going to bring some new blood in. I think Biden and now Pence has been fingered because he's been found with classified documents in his place. There's a whole furore over Biden. There's more and more information coming out about him and his dealings with China, the whole Hunter laptop affair, dodgy dealings in Ukraine. He is in advanced years. He's almost 80 years of age. He's got some kind of dementia happening there. He absolutely can't retain that presidency for much longer, even though he's not really in control of the country. He's a puppet. But surely he cannot remain as the figurehead for the United States for the remainder of 2023. He has to go this year. What do you think?
I saw a meme today, Rick, where there was Biden and Nixon. Nixon on the left, Biden on the right. And I think the caption said something like, you know, just like Nixon, Biden is going to be showing the White House exit door anytime soon, which suggests that, you know, the deep state and, you know, the powers that be, both inside America, of course, and the ones who really call the shots from elsewhere, have got plans for Biden, which don't include him running for the presidency, anytime soon. It won't be running for a second term. I just can't see that happening, you know. Even if they weren't to push him out, I just don't think he's really up to campaigning for it. But I think, you know, they'll put him out to pasture very, very soon, much sooner rather than later.
Well, again, if that does happen, and I know if Harris steps up and she's the new president of America, heaven forbid. Again, I know she just follows orders, but how can anybody? It's hard enough, I think, for anybody to take America seriously as a nation with Biden at the helm. How much more so will their credibility be destroyed with Harris at the helm? Unless, of course, that's always been part of the plan, is to destabilize America, to neuter America almost, to destroy any perception that people have that they are now a superpower, that they're not now a woke, generally speaking, of course, I'm talking about a woke nation, a weak nation led by idiotic leaders and almost caricatures of cartoon characters. Those are the people that are inhabiting the White House and operating at higher levels of American government. Is this partially, maybe part of an overall plan to, how would you say, take the legs out from under America, which would mean any future global agenda or globalist agenda would be easier to implement if America were taken down a peg or two or humiliated almost on the world stage?
Absolutely, Rick. You know, I mean, it's a controlled demolition. You know, the Republic is, you know, sadly no more. And, you know, I, as much as I hate to admit it, I don't want to see America go down. I don't think any right-thinking person wants to see America collapse in any way, shape or form. But it's been mooted for a long time. You know, that if America continues down this path that it's been heading down basically since the collapse of the Berlin Wall and the, you know, the implosion of the Soviet Union, and particularly after 9/11, you know, there are forces within America and clearly outside America that really are wanting to take the nation down. And I guess the thing that really surprises me and many others is just how Americans who, you know, they're good people, like all of us, and, yeah, you know, there's a lot of good people out there that are clearly worried about what's happening in their respective countries. Same here in Australia. I imagine same in Ireland and UK. And, you know, I have a lot of contact with a lot of people in the US, and, you know, a lot of these people, for example, you know, former national security state people, FBI people, CIA people, NSA people, and they've almost without exception, you know, the contact that I have with these people, whether it's direct or indirect, these people are really genuinely concerned that their nation is really hell-bent on its own destruction. But it's not Americans themselves that are doing this. It's forces larger than the ordinary American. What the big puzzle for me is how and why ordinary Americans seem to be complacent in the face of this onslaught, this attack on, you know, what was once, a great nation, you know.
Controlled demolition. Controlled demolition is what it is. It's not like the house is falling down in one go, like the Twin Towers did in 9/11. Yeah. That was another controlled demolition. I want to talk about that a little bit as well. But I think we're seeing it as well in Canada. I've seen a lot of there's a lot of hatred towards Justin Trudeau now, and it's very hard to suppress it because anywhere he goes now, he's being heckled. He's a very heavy police presence around him. There's larger and larger groups of crowds are coming out to speak against him. His deputy, Chrystia Freeland. Most people won't be aware of who she is outside of Canada. They think, okay, she's just a deputy. I believe she's more ruthless and more of a devotee and acolyte of the World Economic Forum than Trudeau is. She's certainly a high-ranking member. It would certainly make sense if Trudeau's stock price is waning on the old globalist stock exchange, that she would be a logical shoe-in for Justin Trudeau. And a little bit like Simpkins coming in to replace Ardern, I think if Freeland comes in and replaces Trudeau, as much as I absolutely detest that guy, I think she's worse, as evidenced by her glee with which she froze people's bank accounts and charitable donations in the Canadian truckers protest last February, March in Ottawa. I think she relishes in it, and she relishes in her position within the WEF. So that's another possibility. Shuffling the deck, revelations coming out. You and I have talked here in the past about the Kennedy assassination, something we both have looked into, read on, watched various documentaries on. That seems to be a given now, that it's not a conspiracy theory, that it's now evidence that the CIA were involved in the assassination of JFK. That's out there in public knowledge now. And it doesn't seem to have had the impact that you would have thought it would. Maybe it's just confirming what a lot of people thought for a long time. Will there be a point? Because, you know, there's been a lot of things happened since that. And of course, the biggest one of all, I think even bigger than the JFK assassination, was the 9/11 attack.
9/11,
which, if anybody's done any research in that one, they will know it wasn't orchestrated by a group of men in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan or in the Middle East who hijacked the plane and done ABC. There was an inside job on that. There's a lot of evidence on that. Will that ever come out that actually, yes, the US government had a hand in it? And if it does, are people so numb at the minute, so comfortably numb, as Pink Floyd would have sang, that it won't make any difference? Even if you say, yes, they did it, they killed their own people, maybe people will, if they can drag their faces away from their handheld devices and wipe the drool off their chin, they may even give a damn if they haven't been chipped by that point. Do you think that revelation will ever come to light?
You know, the interesting thing about these belated revelations that come out is that just by virtue of the fact that they come out so late, they don't have the impact on the people that these revelations need to have the impact on, and that is the people who were actually around at the time. For example, you get the revelations that come out about, you know, the the CIA being involved in the Kennedy assassination. There's only a small group of people who say, you know, maybe one or two generations on from that, that revelation actually resonates with people. And it really is like, you know, the lie will travel around the world, you know, in a heartbeat. But, you know, while the lie has gone around the world three times, the truth is still trying to get its boots on before it gets out of bed. And this actually applies over the longer term. I think it was Mark Twain that said something like that. But it's funny how, you know, it's almost like they can afford to say, okay, well, look, we'll reveal, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the track that, yes, we did have an Operation Northwoods, which actually predicted the 9/11 scenario or several aspects of the 9/11 scenario, and yet people go, oh yeah, okay, but they still believe the 9/11 narrative, even though there was a precedent for that, a precedent not only just for the actual attack, but a precedent for the American deep state actually planning an attack like that. So you know, you can pick any number of those kinds of examples where revelations come out, whether they're limited hangouts or not. You know, even now, I think if you had one of the CIA guys at the top level coming out, yeah, we did it, we killed Kennedy. I think it might be right, Rick. I think people, not just in America but worldwide, are just so benumbed, is an interesting word. Yeah. They're completely reached the point where, what is it going to take for people to say, wow, no, that didn't happen. Oh, let's do something about it. You know, I mean, as much as I'd love to, you know, think that that kind of reaction might occur after some big major revelation, say, for example, 9/11, it came out that, hey, yes, yeah, we organized this, the towers were actually, you know, were a controlled demolition, all of this sort of stuff. One wonders just how much of an impact that's going to have. And again, closer to home, of course, with the COVID thing, you know, you hear reports of people saying, oh, well, look, you know, it's all going to come out very soon, very soon. But, you know, I've been hearing that for 18 months or more, you know, the thing about the vaccines, you know, that, you know, the vaccines are killing people. But,
yeah,
you know, it,
they're still being injected, Greg, and people are still getting them. And nobody's taking to the streets to say, you've killed my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my wife, my son, or my daughter. You would have thought with these excess deaths and increased lower rates of births, et cetera, that are happening right across the world, you would have thought that that would have resulted in certainly a lot more impact than it does. What we'll do is we've got to take another quick break, and then we'll keep the momentum going in this. But does this not feed back into what I'm talking about desensitization, about how we've been conditioned so much to exist and depend on clicks, social media, having our faces in screens? I do believe the cumulative effect of that is it numbs you so much and you become so absorbed in an alternate version of reality that when reality actually comes and hits you, you're literally drooling. You know, you're open-eyed and you're dribbling off your chin and, and then nothing actually happens. I think, and I'm sad to say, but I think that's the position that we're in as a people, as a whole right now. But we'll dig into that maybe in a little bit when we come back. Just a quick ad break, 2 minutes, and we'll be right back with Greg Mabry. And I'm Rick Munn, TNT Radio. Don't go away.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Don't miss the forest for the trees. The real story today isn't whether Alec Baldwin's Spanish wife, Elaria, is actually from Spain. Of course she isn't. She's Hillary Lynn Hardway Thomas from Weston, Massachusetts. She's as American as Alec is. And the real story of the day isn't whether Damar Hamlin was really at the Bills game. It was probably a body double. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Who cares? The real story of the day isn't even that Mike Pence rushed to Joe Biden's rescue in the document scandal by conveniently finding some classified documents in his own house. Funny that he didn't rush to President Trump's defense, finding documents in his own house. No, the real story of the day is the absolute clown world that we're told to believe in, that anybody with half an ounce of common sense knows is completely false. But that's the Democrat Party today, up is down, left is right, and right is wrong. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Several Soros-backed DAs are facing recall petitions, including George Gascon, DA of crime-riddled Los Angeles, and Pariza Degani-Tafti from Arlington County and City Falls of Church, Virginia. Steve DeSano of Fairfax County, Virginia, elected in 2019, endorsed a progressive platform typical of the left-wing DA faction, making official policy not to prosecute more than 20 different crimes, including shoplifting for goods under $1,000, prostitution, and indecent exposure. Loudoun County District Attorney Bhuta Bibaraj, who championed anti-incarceration, made headlines for personally seeking jail time for Scott Smith, a father who was arrested for misdemeanor disorderly conduct at Loudoun County School Board meeting while protesting the school board's cover-up of his 14-year-old daughter's rape in a school bathroom. Bibaraj is now facing a recall petition.
Big pharma corruption, medical corruption, government corruption, political corruption, climate change corruption. The threats to your happiness are many, but that's where we can help. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Our truth shall keep you free.
Okay, this whole business of, as Nicola Charles described, the television as the lobotomy box, I think people have moved away from the lobotomy box and simply replaced it by something, you know, with the TV back in the day. You probably remember this, the old TV, they had an aerial on the back. You had three channels. You had to push a button to switch them on. There was no such thing as remote control. They were black and white. They were like something from outer space when they arrived and everybody was fascinated by them. Now, not so much. It's more about what version is your phone, what kind of computer do you use, can you get on with the virtual reality headsets? They're talking about chipping people, the Internet of Things, transhumanism is the next step on. It seems to be that people can't get enough tech, okay? And it's very, very difficult to get away from tech because it's everywhere. We need it right now, you and I, to communicate it. We need it with TNT to broadcast. People need to use it to connect with us. So they've got us in a little way. We need it really to bank now. We need it maybe to pay bills, or people have become accustomed to that. We're getting conditioned to rely heavily on tech. And I remember years ago, Greg, and don't quote me on this, but any cursory research will show this up. But if you start to watch a television set, just or a computer screen, or you're watching a movie or whatever it happens to be, your brain waves usually operate alpha and beta waves. And if you're in a focused state in the real world having a conversation, you're predominantly alpha wave state. Okay, you're very actively engaged, aware of your surroundings. There was a study done that within 30 seconds of people sitting on a couch to watch the television, within 30 seconds, 85% of those alpha waves were replaced by beta waves, or beta almost waves. Reducing you into a zombie-like vegetative state. So, hypothesis time, we talked about it. Why are people not reacting? Why are people not more appalled? Why are people not throwing their arms up? Are we in a almost semi-permanent beta wave mental state where we're just simply zombified by all the tech that we're exposing ourselves to? And I know some people don't. I know there's some people don't do it, but I'm talking about as a whole. When I go out, mate, I'm seeing people with their children pushing a pram on the phone. I'm seeing couples, old couples, young couples, families in coffee shops all on their phone. There's no interaction, very, very little interaction. Or if there is, it's to send each other pics or show each other pictures on their phones. It seems to be the world's revolving around it. Is that part of the problem?
Look, I think so. I think, I think we're talking here on a physical level, you know, people's actual physical in real-time engagement with these devices. So you've got that kind of distraction. You've got, and again, I'm not an expert on electronics or, any of this kind of electrical technology sort of stuff. But when you think about, you know, the radio waves and all these different sort of, signals that are coming at us, you know, particularly the 5G, you know, how much is that actually impacting, how we think, our brain waves, how our brains work? You know, we can talk about radio waves, television waves, electromagnetic waves. I don't know the full gamut of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But who knows just how they are impacting on the way that our brain works, Rick. I suspect that definitely that there is technology out there and that they are mucking with that in some way, shape or form. I don't think we can, you know, we can dismiss that outright. That's not conspiracy theory. That, you know, the actual technology for that exists. And if you, anybody that thinks that these people would not resort to this in order to bring about some kind of desired behavioral modification in the way that we conduct ourselves, I mean, they've got to be dreaming. This has got to be happening. And I think this eventually is going to be something that will continue to happen. And if you believe what a lot of people believe, that they have injected via the vaccines, quote unquote, various sort of communication technologies whereby they will be able to control our behavior via that method. Forget TV, TV will probably be the old hat. I mean, I don't watch TV, but, you know, that's not to say that I'm not affected in some way, shape or form by other non-physical or invisible kind of impacts, if you like, on just the way that my brain works. You know, let's talk about, you know, interfering with my brain chemistry, the way that we think. And I think we're all susceptible to it. About the only thing that we can really do is be mindful of it and then look at ways in which we can, you know, maybe combat it. I don't have the answers, Rick. I really don't. It's something that's worthwhile exploring. But I'm certainly would like to explore this a little bit further because I think we need to.
I mean, let me give you an example. You know, we're communicating online, which is great. It's nice to see. It's nice to hear your voice, but it's no substitute for us being able to sit opposite each other at a table and either, you know, have a beer, have a coffee, whatever, look at each other in the eye. The communication is elevated exponentially simply by virtue of the fact that we're in each other's presence. You see a lot of these Twitter spaces or groups that are set up online, you know, individual groups on Messenger, and they talk about the same things and they communicate and share ideas. That's wonderful, but it's no substitute for actually getting together in person. And I haven't really had any direct contact with any co-workers now for pushing 3 years, because the last 12 months I've been sitting in this room talking online to people. That's my job now. Okay, there's no contact, no human contact with anybody to do with the station. 2 years prior to that, I was working from home for a government organization for a solid 2 years, and I was working from home, but I had no contact with anybody in my office, and I'd been there for 11 years. I was completely isolated, a little bit like going into solitary confinement to a degree, and that does have an effect on you, and it does change the way you look at things. This weekend, thankfully, Darren and I from TNT, we've been invited over to a comedy festival in England that's going to be a big event, which is fantastic. And we're going to be there in person. And a lot of people that follow us on Twitter have messaged us and said, listen, we live near you. We're going to call down. A lot of guests I have on the show, one of them's picking me up from the airport. We're going to go and have lunch. Then we're meeting other people. But I know already that it's going to be infinitely better than if we were all getting together in a big Zoom call or a round table online somewhere. It's going to be exponentially better to do that in person, and we won't be on our phones when we're communicating. We'll be looking at each other, laughing. I think the alpha waves will be flowing rather than the beta wave state. Yeah. And I think that's going to be an eye-opener for me too, because literally that's the first time I'll be doing something like that for upwards of 3 years. So I'm very looking forward to it. And that's another part of the lockdown strategy. I think they wanted to isolate people, keep them indoors, cut down human contact, cut down group interaction, because they know how powerful it is in real life. They don't want this in an alpha wave state. That's really what I'm trying to say.
Rick, what's that old expression? I think we all need to get out more.
Ultimately,
that's, and I'm being a bit facetious here, but, you know, I went and met with a lady today who were distributing this local newspaper that's trying to wake people up, and we ostensibly met to organise the distribution of the newspaper. But 3.5 hours later, we're still sitting there and we're talking about everything but what we actually got together about. And I hadn't met this lady before, she hadn't met me, and we had this fantastic conversation, shared all this different information, swapped links and names and all of this sort of thing. And I walked away from it, but that was just really fabulous. I haven't had a conversation like that for a long time with somebody I didn't even know. And I thought to myself,
it's invigorating, isn't it? It perks you up and it makes you, it almost gives you a shake. And some people, it's with what you do, you write and research a lot of negative topics because you're dealing with real life. And there's very little positivity out there because it's being suffocated by the negativity. But as you've said, even though you met up to distribute literature to wake people up, you ended up talking about stuff that's completely unrelated, and no doubt it did your mind and as a result your body great wonders. And I suppose that's something that I'm trying to push people to do as well. I'm trying to do more of myself, is to get out more. 100% I believe you should be online as little as possible, but I understand it's addictive, and I understand a lot of people maybe have no alternative, so that's how they have their fellowship. I get that, but if possible, set the damn thing down. Go out for a walk, even 15 minutes, a couple of times a day. It will do your mind, body, and soul great wonders. So that's a good little piece of advice to round us up with. The music starting to play in the old earphones. I'm a professional now, so I tend not to get cut off by the news that's coming in about 40 seconds time.
I'm still working on it.
I'm going to say a massive thank you to you, Greg Mabry. I love talking to you. I always leave feeling better than when I arrived. That's always a good sign. Check Greg out on the No Fly Zone TNT Radio. Check out our website. His details are on there. James Freeman is incoming. Darren Denslow is also after him. Plenty lined up. Jeremy Nell, you're spoiled here on TNT Radio.
Thank you very much.
Don't go away, and I'll be back tomorrow. More of the same. Pin back your ears. Incoming.